God's grace, His mercy to you from Jesus Christ, our once and future returning King. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we talked about hurricanes and God being the God of storms, and we talked about the great storm to come at the very end of the world, which is called Judgment Day. And so what I'd like to talk with you today is a little more about Judgment Day in detail. Why? Because there's nothing really more important that I could ever share with you, because we're all going to have to appear there personally and to give an account of ourselves to God. And so it's an important thing for us, and this focus and main prime direction of all the scriptures to get us ready for that day, the day of judgment, the day of the Lord. And so let's take a look at this today. I know you know these things already, but it's good for us to periodically refresh ourselves in these things, because it's so easy for us to lose sight of them. And God wants to refresh us not only in the warnings that are given to the world with respect to Judgment Day, but also to the great joy of the promises that God has promised us that are attached to that day in Jesus Christ. So let's take a look today at Judgment Day. What does God teach us about that, and what should be our perspective toward it? First of all, let me ask you, what is Judgment Day? It's not just a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? It's the last day of the world, the end of time, when Jesus will return to judge the world, the very last day when he returns for judgment. For think about it, what has a beginning also has an end. This world has a beginning, and the Bible says it also has an end. And at that end, Jesus will return for judgment. Have you kept that clear in your minds? It's easy to forget. And so let's refresh ourselves and be sure of it again by some words here from God's scriptures. For example, when Jesus was just ascending to heaven, and as he disappeared up into the clouds, two angels stood by the disciples and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." In other words, he went into heaven on the clouds of heaven, and he's returning on the clouds of heaven. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's returning. Jesus will come again. Let's turn over to another scripture here, Hebrews chapter 9. "Just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." The first time he came to deal with sin, right? The first time he came was to get us ready for his second coming, where he's going to come and save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? We got to be keeping this clearly before our eyes. For Jesus says in Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," let's read that, "and all his angels with him, then he'll sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. So there'll be a great judgment on the day of the Lord, and a great gathering of all peoples, where even the sea will give up the dead in her, and all will be judged before the Lord. And of that day, we read in Malachi chapter 4, "Behold, the day comes. It's burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. A day that comes that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that will leave neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." Are you excited about the day of the Lord? The day of judgment, Judgment Day that's coming? I'll tell you, this is a fact, and you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're not going to hear it on TV or in Hollywood or at a sports game or in regular conversation. You're going to hear it from a pulpit, or you're going to hear it only from Christians proclaiming the Word of God. This is the only place. So listen carefully. Jesus is coming again. And you know that, but it's good for us to periodically refresh ourselves in this, because it's so easy to lose sight of. Yes, as Joshua found out, not one of all the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed, all came to pass. And I'll tell you, basically every page of Scripture is pointing us to this day, and this will come to pass too, again, and on a day soon to come. So what do we need to do to be get ready for that day? What's God tell us? Well, again, you know this, but the world doesn't, and this is the only place you're going to hear it, here and in the voice and the mouth of another Christian. For Acts chapter 17, Paul was speaking to a crowd, the word of God, and he says, God has fixed the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. So when is that day? It is fixed, and God will judge the world by whom? By the man whom he raised from the dead. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Now, some people who commit a crime in this world think they're going to get away with it, or that they'll never have to appear in court. But what does the Scripture say? We will all have to give an account one day. And what do we have to do according to this verse? You tell me. Repent, because God's fixed a day, which means turn, come to Christ, believe on him, be saved, be baptized, and follow him. These are the words that the world does not believe, but you believe, and rightly so. For God says in Isaiah chapter 45, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, and from my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Every tongue's going to confess, and every knee's going to bow to whom? To Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 2 as well. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. And in the Lord all the offspring of Israel shall triumph in glory. This is the promise of our Lord. And when he comes, his host is exceedingly great, says Joel. He that executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can do it? Yet even now, says God, turn to me with all your heart, with weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and turns away from evil. And so when God comes, his desire is this. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is the truth? Friends, there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And God calls all people to repent and come to him to be saved. I want to ask, are you ready for that day? Children's message, I brought out an air horn. What'd you do? You prepared for it because you knew it was coming. You covered your ears. When you prepare for the trumpet of the Lord, I say, uncover your ears and look up and always be ready. It's so easy to lose sight of this. Amen? Don't you experience that? As you go about, and if I don't preach this, it gets very fuzzy to us. How many people do you think there are in our world that are not ready for that day and don't believe in it? What do you think? What would be a great percentage? 95. I fear many. Yeah, you say 95, Art? Most people do not believe as we believe about this day, and they are not ready for it. If you think about just talking with people, some people say, I don't believe that's going to come. The Christian faith, that's a hoax, and his return is a fantasy. I will not have to give an account. Really? We read here in Psalm 10, which is written 3,000 years ago by David, saying the same thing, that the wicked thinks in his heart, God's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it. The wicked renounces God and says in his heart, thou wilt not call to account. But the truth is, God is calling to account everybody who's ever lived to stand before him for judgment. And so also, not only some people will actually confess with their lips, oh yeah, there's a judgment day coming, but you see by their lives that they don't take it seriously. For they continue in bickering and holding on to the petty things of life, to holding their anger past sundown, in violation of Ephesians chapter 4, not forgiving people, speaking evil and slander of other people, how loose people's tongues are, which they wouldn't be loose if they thought on the day of the Lord, which is coming. Many even who claim to be Christians seem not to be taking it seriously. And why don't people take this day seriously, do you think? Let me give you one reason. Hollywood. You know this one, you guys. What is Arnold Schwarzenegger's number two movie, Terminator 2? What was the name of that one? Judgment Day. I will return. Hasta la vista, baby. And Hollywood misuses words like Judgment Day, which is out of the Bible. And what do they make it into? A future world of robots is going to take over the world. But what they send back, you know, in number two, a super robot to come and destroy the guy who's going to kill the robots in the future, a young boy named John Connor. But don't worry, Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming to save the world by protecting the boy from the other robot. And so it's this big, crazy scam. This garbage, ultimately, I mean, you can make a movie, but you're calling it Judgment Day to make people think Judgment Day is about robots. You have another movie that came out some years ago, Armageddon. That's right out of Revelation chapter 19, the great final battle between good and evil in the world. But what's Hollywood call that? Well, it's a story about an asteroid that's coming to collide with the Earth, but happily, space cowboy Bruce Willis mans a spaceship and goes to implant a nuclear bomb on the asteroid and so save humankind. That's Armageddon. They're mocking the scriptures and confusing people about the day of the Lord. Even you could look at that movie, remember the Left Behind movie with Kirk Cameron, which claimed to be Christian based on a wrong understanding of scripture, where Christians just vanish from the world, leaving only their clothes behind, and planes are crashing and buses are careening off the road. And meanwhile, Kirk Cameron, since no Christians are left, in order to be saved, goes into churches and finds videotapes of the gospel so that he can hear it and then get saved. Meanwhile, the Antichrist is taking over the world, and the two prophets, supposedly from Revelation 11, are going around and literally breathing fire out of their mouths, literal fire, to consume people with machine guns. Now, if I was an unbeliever and I watched that movie and said, that's what you Christians believe, I'd be like, you guys are cuckoo. You are so seriously nuts. I'm never going to become a Christian. So that's one reason why you have people not believing it. An even better reason is because people love their sin too much. And they do not want to hear about the day of the Lord, because then they'd have to give up what they love. And thirdly, you have, as it says in 2 Corinthians, that the devil blinds the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So for these and other reasons, people are not getting ready for this day. You know, we had that trumpet blast in the children's sermon. You got ready for it. Most people are not getting ready for it. And believe me, the trumpet to come is going to blow people away. So we need to be ready for it and not be fools. Jesus says in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves. Be very careful. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day it come upon you suddenly like a snare, for it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. So do you take this day seriously? Are you getting ready for it? I know you do. But let's refresh ourselves in this today to be strong in it, because we can easily lose sight of it. So what's God want us to be our perspective when it comes to the great day of judgment, the last day? Number one, he says, my saints, I want you to be clear and strong in faith. Even use logic if you need to. For what has a beginning will also have an end. And this world has had a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it also will have an end. People think the world's going to go on forever. It's not. There is an end coming, and quickly so. Be sober-minded. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, says Jesus, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. If this is not true, Jesus is a liar. But in fact, it is true. He's warning us about the sober truth. The end will come. And all of Scripture points us to this. And if the world refuses to talk about this, and wants to shut you up and doesn't want to hear about any of these things, God says, but I talk about it all the time. Just open my book and see. It's on every page. I'm getting people ready for it. For still the vision awaits its time, says God. It hastens to its end. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It won't delay. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. So do you believe it will surely come? Say, yes, it will come. And it's coming swiftly, friends. It's coming on the wings of the wind. So number two, God says, I want you to be expectant of these things, looking for them. For Jesus says, of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. There is something in Scripture and in heavenlies called classified information, if I can put it that way. Top secret. The day of the Lord is a top secret date reserved for the Father only, and perhaps now for the Son since he's in heaven, I don't know. But it's not known to us to know the times and the seasons, but we're to be expectant for it. And guess what? We're as close to Christ as Abraham was. Abraham lived 2,000 years before Christ, and we're in 2017, 2,000 years after Christ. My goodness, it looks pretty symmetrical to me. It's not crazy to think that he's coming even in our days. But Peter warned in his second letter that in the last days before Jesus comes, there's going to be scoffers in the world. And they're going to scoff at this idea of his second coming. They're going to say, look, the world, it's been continuing just as it has from the beginning of creation. But what do they ignore, says Peter? They're ignoring, number one, that God created the world by the word of God. Number two, that God submerged the world by the word of God in the flood. And number three, that God is going to consume the world by fire by the same word at the last day. And so we ought to be ready. They didn't expect it the first time when the flood came, but it swept them away. And they won't expect it the second time, Jesus says, but he's coming even so. But Paul says, you guys, we're different. We're not in darkness for that day to surprise us like a thief. For we're sons of light and we're sons of the day. You've already got it on the radar. If the hurricane is heading toward Earth, just like the hurricane the other week was heading to Florida, we've got it on the radar here. You can see it and you can take early action to make sure that you're well, that you're in Jesus Christ, that you're safe in him. But Peter warns the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief. We know it's coming, but just not when. And it's going to surprise the world like a thief. And at that point, he says, the heavens, they're going to pass away. And with a loud noise, the elements will be dissolved with fire. And the earth and then the works that are upon it will be burned up. Does that sound like something we ought to be paying attention to? The earth is going to be burned up. I think that's worthy of some sort of attention here. Absolutely. You agree with me, of course. And the word from God is, therefore, be alert. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man in his day. Thirdly, not only be strong and clear and expectant, but also tremble before its power. Do you tremble before the power of the day of the Lord? When you think about it, behold, he's coming with the clouds, says the Bible. Every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen, says John in Revelation. And let's read about that in Isaiah chapter 13, how powerful this day is. Verse 9 and following, he says, behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel and with wrath and fierce anger to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I'll punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll put an end to the pride of the arrogant, and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. Do you tremble at that? Who does God look to? To the person who's contrite in heart and who trembles at my word. Did you tremble at all before the hurricane that was coming? Maybe, maybe not. But this is a bigger one. We ought to be trembling before it at its power, at its majesty, at its strength. For the day of the Lord is the day of the Lord of hosts is a day of vengeance, says Jeremiah 46, a day to avenge himself on his foes. And John foresaw it in this way, as the day of judgment, which it is. I saw and behold a great white throne, and the one who sat upon it, who's that? Jesus. From his presence, even the earth and the sky, they raced and fled away, and no place was found for them. And then he says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and all were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done, the account, the ledger of their lives. And the sea gave up the dead in it, death and Hades gave up the dead in them, and all were judged by what they had done. Do you tremble before that? There'll be a resurrection where everybody stands before the Lord to receive what they've done. And on that day, Jesus says, beware, for many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And I'll declare, I never knew you, you workers of evil. Therefore, what's this day of trembling put into our hearts as Christians? What do you feel right now? It should be spurring us on to cling closely ever to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Never let him go. And then to live also uprightly. And I'll tell you, when I lose sight of the day of the Lord, everything becomes hazy. But when the day of the Lord is set before me clear, it's like blue skies after a rain. Now, let's say I don't have the day of the Lord in mind, and I think about, oh, let's see. I'm going to hold on to my anger today past the going down of the sun. No way am I going to do that, for the day of the Lord is coming. Or, let's see, I want to not forgive somebody today. No way, for the day of the Lord is coming. Or I'm going to live for the pleasures of this life and just go after the vanities of this world. No way, for the day of the Lord is coming. I'm going to speak evil of my neighbor behind his back in the secret places. I'm going to gossip. I'm going to speak poorly. I'm going to judge other people. No way, for the day of the Lord is coming. But rather, I'm going to keep my purpose for the day of the Lord is coming. My mission, my aim, and my goal for the day of the Lord is coming. I'm going to speak well of other people. Put the best construction on it because the day of the Lord is coming. And I'm going to serve my king and love my neighbor as myself for the day of the Lord is coming. For Jesus says, I tell you on the day of judgment when men will even render an account for every careless word they utter. What's that do to you? Does that put you in a little bit of fear of the Lord? I don't want to speak that way, so I want to speak in a way that is in the light because the day of the Lord is coming. We can be like Robin Hood, one of my favorite heroes, who served courageously and boldly in the dark days of Prince John. Why? Because he knew that the day of King Richard was coming, his return to England, and we can serve boldly in our days because we know the day of the return of our Lord is coming. And the reward he's bringing with him is very great. Jesus says in Revelation 22, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. And you can right now lay up for yourselves treasures in the heavens. And God says, not only be clear and strong in your faith, not only be expectant, not only tremble before this day, but I want you to leap for joy. Because this is a day of your great hope. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, says God, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Justice is coming to the earth. With righteousness, Jesus shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips he'll destroy the wicked. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go forth like calves leaping from the stall. Think about that day, what that's going to look like. You ever seen a calf leaping from the stall? Maybe John has, or a few other, anybody a farmer here? I don't see that. But it's going to be beautiful. I mean, I'm sure they're just leaping and excited, joyful. That's what's coming to you at the return of our Lord. For in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we're going to be changed from weakness to strength, from dishonor to glory, and all this through the gift, the free gift of Jesus Christ. Because our citizenship is in heaven, we're waiting Jesus to come from there, a Savior, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the same power that has enabled him to subject all things to himself. So God is in charge of all things, and he says, your bodies right now, which are wearing out, children, don't be afraid. You're going to go forth like calves leaping from the stall. You're saying, my knees aren't working right now, Pastor, and I just had knee surgery. Don't worry, you're still going to be leaping higher than you can dream, because he's coming to save you. God says you don't need to fear that day. Tremble before it, but you don't need to be afraid of it. Who needs to be afraid of that day is those who don't fear it now. If you don't fear it now, you have much to fear then. But if you fear it now, you have nothing to fear on that day. Nothing to fear from me. For your God will come to save you, Isaiah 35. And Jesus says, truly he who hears my word and he who believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. And he's passed out of judgment into life. You've been placed at his right hand. You are not going to be condemned. You're going to be given joy as the free gift of salvation. For in this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the expiation, which means the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to take them all away, so that you might be saved by grace through faith in Christ as a free gift. And in this is love, not that we love God, and this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Are you confident? That we may have confidence. Say it again. Say confidence. Confidence. That we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. He who fears is not perfected in love. Friends, you are loved in Jesus Christ. You have nothing to fear of that day in Jesus Christ. And God says on that day, you're going to rejoice because I'm going to make everything new for you. Not only your bodies, but the dwelling of God. Now God says, I'm going to dwell with you. You're going to be my people. I'll be your God. And I'm going to take away from you death, mourning, crying, pain, all those things. Going to be gone forevermore. And I, sitting upon the throne, will say, behold, I make all things new. And you who have conquered shall have this heritage. I'll be your God. And you shall be my son. And therefore, Peter says, according to God's promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So I'd say to you, be of good cheer today for yet a little while, just a little while. And our coming one, Jesus, will come and he won't tarry. And let's encourage each other and stir each other up and all the more as we see that day drawing near. In Jesus' name, amen.